And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
But relatively concerned. Things are happening fast. I tell you, a lot of it, and whatever solutions you had, you thought you were prepping for, and you did, and everything, and if you just, you know, put cash in the bank, and now it's worth, a third of what it was a year ago. You know, God forbid you're wanting to, you know, they changed the consumer price index in, like, 04, 05. I remember when they did that, they had a cost of living adjustment. It was going to be going to Social Security and older people and entitlements and retirement pensions and all that kind of stuff based on the COLA. So they changed the COLA to not include food, fuel, and housing. There's no inflation. As long as you don't eat, live anywhere, or go anywhere, you don't have inflation. So I'm going, oh, you trusted the man? Oh, how silly of you. Well, you know, another, I don't know, is Dr. Frank trusting the man? I don't know. You got a close relationship with the man, Mr. Frank Danbury?
I have about a close enough relationship with the man as you do. And sometimes I don't want that kind of relationship. It's hard to shake it at times. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, can you turn up your volume or yell into the microphone more?
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll yell more. How's that? Is that better? More like Gurney? There we go.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Anything helps. But, are you on your phone?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, yes. Let me. All right, go ahead and start talking, and I'll do the level. I'll just bring me down so everybody doesn't have to run over to their volume thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple of weeks, and we missed last time. I had my birthday the other day, so I've been kind of busy with
happy
all this stuff
birthday.
Here.
How old are you?
51. I just made it through. I turned 50 during the quarantine last year, and we had to sit home. There was nothing to do on my birthday. Remember, June? We had quarantine. Remember, a year ago we had the quarantine, the main shutdown. And we're all sitting there watching the George Floyd riots and the burning and everything. That was my 50th. I'll never forget it. But I'm sure many of you had similar birthdays, strange as it was. Well, as far as now, I got to tell you, it's been a pretty interesting. The big news event in the last week or so, I think, has been the Dr. Fauci emails and his book. It's interesting how those emails came out at the same time his book dropped. So it seems like there's certainly the information war is being hit on both sides. And I think, I think they're losing ground big time. I mean, from a worldwide trust level, not just here in America, it's completely blowing the, not only the COVID issue out of the water, but also the media itself, which for this audience is not a big problem. You know, no one trusts the media on this.
And what do I always say? The future is all about credibility. And theirs is going away.
It's completely gone. I mean, and for the people who have argued with us, let's say at work or family and such, they keep losing ground on these arguments. And you could go, everything's a conspiracy theory. Heck, I even listened to K-Jazz. That's the PBS, they play All Things Consider. I used to like that show. But to sit there and listen to those shows now, it's astounding. You literally call everything a conspiracy theory. I mean, that's what the so-called PBS news shows refer to everything now is conspiracy theory, which is not even journalism, of course. It's opinion. But think about how many things, just the last few years, and the audience listening, just think about what other topics am I missing. You got the whole Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton and Bill Gates and all these guys, right? That whole story, we don't have to go into that. We all know that story. But that was a conspiracy theory, and Alex Jones was thrown off the air for having theories like that 10 years ago talking about it, right? How about the whole Hollywood Weinstein kind of world? Conspiracy theory, that's been thrown now. We can turn around, we can talk about the COVID issue, right? About wearing masks or not masks. Now we're finding out that Fauci himself said that masks don't work in his emails. But that was a conspiracy theory. Oh, how about it coming from the Wuhan lab? Oh, that was a conspiracy theory. And every one of these so-called conspiracy theories, it's bad enough that they call it a conspiracy, right? Whatever crap they want to label it. The worst part is every time that they labeled something that turned out to be true, they're the ones that banned it, censored it, canceled people. People lost jobs. That's the horror here. And for each of these scare tactics and brainwashing their followers on CNN and the rest to go after their family, go after their neighbors and coworkers for having these views.
Yeah, truth wasn't enough. They had to make you pay.
Exactly, make you pay. But now the turnaround and the egg on the face of the people, the sycophants, your friends and neighbors or old friends, maybe past friends and neighbors who turned on you over this and said, oh, fact check. I'm going to fact check this on ABC News. I'm going to fact check this on the New York Times. People calling the New York Times a fact check source. They have no clue, being in the fishbowl, about the bias that they have. And now with all of these theories being blown out of the water, it's not just that they're wrong. It's the fact that they're the ones that came after and attacked us. Literally attacked us, and now they can't stand on those so-called fact checks anymore, and now their credibility is now being thrown out. And hopefully, my point, Ernie, is that people, unlike you and I and a lot of this audience, are a little bit opinionated. You know, we don't stand for that, but a lot of us, you know, we tend to sit back and we're afraid to confront, and we're maybe afraid to lose a job and this and that. Well, hopefully those Americans who've been quiet this time and let Donald Trump push back for us instead of us ourselves will finally have the backbone to stand up to these people, because they've lost the credibility in front of us. And therefore, you now have the leverage. You have, as Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, I have the high ground, Anakin. We now have the high ground over these issues, and we can clobber them with it.
High ground? What high ground? What do you mean high ground? We got the high ground. What's the high ground?
You don't watch Star Wars? The high ground. Notice we have the high ground, the leverage. We'll put another term. Leverage over them. In other words, each of these issues that they say you're a conspiracy and there's nothing.
Well, I understand what you mean, but I want to get the definition of high ground. You know, a lot of times you have the moral high ground, or you got the physical high ground. I got the sniper high ground. I got, the truth high ground. I got, I'm wondering what you mean by that. We got the high ground. Which is
Let's
what?
Say the credibility high ground.
Okay, credibility. All right. And that doesn't seem to matter sure as hell not in politics. I've always played the long game, because we've been in the editorial board meetings with, as party chair and all that kind of stuff, and you got 13, 14 of them there going, well, if you would only not be such a pain in our ass, and we'll focus on, they made the offer, we'll focus on whatever your pet issue is, and we'll make a big woo-hoo out of it, and you'd kind of leave us alone, and we'll go be communist over here. And I'm going, my pet issue is freedom. You can't give me what I want. You're not going to. It's not in your nature. It's not your goal. It was a really ugly meeting, and it was Paul Schatt. He was editorial page editor of the Republic. But at least they respected us, but they knew we were the enemy. The libertarians were the enemy, and they operate from the idea of they can bribe you. And well, of course you'll take the vaccine so you can go to a concert, right? they're trying to bribe everybody. What percentage do you think it is? Is it like everybody? I don't know. When we come back, we'll talk about this. Who can be conned, bribed, manipulated? Have they reached their limit? Are all the low-hanging fruit been picked? Are they done? It's now whatever you got, that's it, and no more, because the people are rising up, and they've taken a side. And, oh, by the way, Everybody found out you guys were lying, sacks of snot from the beginning. Now what? We'll find out.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi. You know, I missed you last week, man. You know, we, you know, both busy, I guess, or doing our thing. But, you know, I'm, it built up a lot of stuff. What happened since then was, you know, Rand Paul got Fauci up there and just, you know, gave him every opportunity to lie, and he took every opportunity to lie. So, you know, he comes out, but, you know, damn it, he's got a book. He's cashing in with a book. He got a book. You know, you're gonna run out and read his book, are you?
Yeah. I'm reading that. I actually just right after I finished reading my National Enquirer issue.
Wait. Donna's got something to say. She just told me. Here, go. What?
I think Amazon pulled Fauci's book. There's a story on Freedom's Phoenix about it. I didn't research it, but I just saw the headline.
What was that?
Amazon pulled his book.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, man, he got canceled by Amazon. You must be a real scumbag.
By Amazon. Oh, my God. Well, that's a whole story in itself. Well, I got to tell you, it's interesting.
I mean, they pull all the freedom stuff, and for them to pull a Fauci book, they must know something's coming.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's huge. Well, here, it's interesting, too. You mentioned with Rand Paul. Isn't it fascinating? And I'm not accusing Rand of anything. God knows. God bless him. He was the only representative had the balls, not to mention the medical background. I don't know how many other doctors that happen to be politicians or at least senators right now, representatives. But the thing is, you had him taking on and asking Fauci, just like Dr. Ron Paul would take on Ben Bernanke. You know, those are classic episodes. You know, of the Senate hearings, right? The representative hearings. Anyway, the point is you got Rand Paul grilling Fauci at the time, just not that long ago. Then comes out, of course, the book and these emails. So it's almost you couldn't have had a better setup of getting everyone's attention with Fauci being put on record, including live. A lot of people watched it live stream of Fauci, you know, trying to answer Rand Paul and doubling down on some of his claims. And then, bam, the book, bam, the emails. And so this whole thing's getting blown out. And now Amazon's pulling it. That's fascinating. There's more to see in this show, definitely. And we're also seeing just the control of China, but I'll talk about that in just a second. Before we got off to the break, you had asked me about how many people seem to be falling, like the low-hanging fruit, as far as the vaccine with the vaccinations and the like. It's interesting. I have an interesting perspective because, you know, I play a doctor sometimes during the day, and I have a lot of patients that come in. I do tend to attract patients who are anti-establishment. Not necessarily that they're all libertarians, but, you know, if you don't trust the medical system, then, you know, they sometimes see me. You know, if the medical system says, you know, well, in 5-minute visit, take your prostate out, and a patient goes, well, is there some other alternatives? Maybe I don't trust the system. Then they find doctors like me. So I'm just pointing that out. I tend to see contrarian patients, or at least those that question it, okay? So with that said, you know, they're not, most of my guys are not watching CNN. I'll just leave it there. So with that said, I'm fascinated and surprised how many of them did get the vaccine. And the interesting is, because I do ask, did you get COVID-19 or did you get the vaccine? And the reason I ask is not to grill my patients. It's mainly because if they got either one, it can cause an inflammatory response, which can throw off their PSA, which is one of the markers I look at to track for a possible cancer flare-up. So
okay, yeah, I see your doctor throwing around letters. PSA stands for what?
Prostatic specific antigen. And most guys should know about this one. If you're over 50, you should be having it checked. But anyway, the thing is, PSAs can be thrown off for a bunch of reasons that are not cancer. And one of them is getting the flu, but just the regular flu can throw it off. So that's why I always ask questions about what else has happened before I just assume the PSA is coming from cancer, like your 5-minute, you know, doc in a box will do. But anyway, now with COVID, that's a whole other level of possible inflammation. And getting a vaccine, any vaccine, you know, I don't recommend for at least a couple months, you know, away from getting a PSA. So that's I'm just pointing out why I ask my patients. It's not to make a political statement. However, being that I'm a doctor that has a rifle on his wall, you know, I do have patients that tend to, you know, lean a little more, you know, liberty. And so when I ask them, a lot of the times they'll ask me my opinion, and we get into this a lot in my office, but many of them tell me that, I would say half of them have not been vaccinated, and they say, hell no, HE double hockey sticks. And then the other half tell me that they do. And yet what's been a little frustrating, I'll be honest, is the patients who said that they have, they, you know, I don't give them my judgment, because I'm in doctor mode. But at the same time, they reluctantly say, yeah, I got it. I didn't really want to. I really, really didn't want to get it. But, you know, my wife wants to take a cruise, and I was, you know, I didn't want to have to hold up the family cruise. I mean, things like that. So they're taking it reluctantly in order to travel and some of the threats going forward. And I'm just, it's very surprising.
For the same reason they got a Facebook account, for the convenience of it. Everybody else is on it. I need to be able to do this stuff I want to do. And they aren't willing to inconvenience themselves, you know, their health for the rest of their life. This is a problem. There's something fundamental that's being gamed in humanity. And they knew this would happen. That's why they did it.
Yes. And those are the low-hanging fruit. And it's interesting, too, just seeing the certain personalities that will do that. And, granted, I'm not trying to be too judgmental, but, you know, when they ask me, I tell them, well, you know, for every person that gets it, that, you know, if you think for medical reasons, that's fine. If you're afraid and you're hiding in your basement watching CNN, fine. But if you're getting it for convenience like that, I tell them, for every person that gets this vaccine to make it easy for themselves, they're making it that much harder for the rest of us that are not, that are holding out, to draw this line. That line has to be drawn here, because you said it most eloquently, that if at the end of the day, they take the guns, they take the gold, they take everything, that's not as bad, and never is the line where you don't have control over your own body. When they can tell you what to put in your body, then you're a slave at that point. There's no freedom at all when you can't control that. And I always remembered your comment on that. Believe it or not, I actually remember here. I listened to a few things that you say, Ernie. And that was something that is absolutely true. That's why of all the things in the world, you hitched your whole bus to the vaccine issue, even before COVID came out, God bless you. But that is the line in the sand. And now we're finally confronting it. And for Americans not to see how important, profoundly important that is a bit disheartening, even in my own office. But yeah, so that is the low-hanging fruit. CNN people already got it. They got their free donuts from Krispy Kreme, you know, for getting the vaccine. And then you got people for the cruises. But I would say there's easily about a third of Americans who are drawing that line in the sand. And I think that's enough. But the irony is, if a third of the people don't get the vaccine, I might be a little bit off on the numbers here, but you almost are at herd immunity. I think they're herd immunity, and don't quote me, guys, I'm not the expert on this. I think it's around 20% that if you get, like, I think it's 80. If 80% get vaccinated, then you don't need the rest.
You know, one of the things that Rand Paul said, he was on some show I was watching, you know, about this revelation in the emails of Fauci. And he goes, you know, we've had herd immunity starts at, you know, we already got it. I mean, if we're going to have it, we're going to have it. And COVID-19, at its worst, oh, my God, it could be 1% death. You get it, 1% of you die, which is, you know, tragic and high and whatever. But a lot of this gain-of-function stuff that they're trying to do, they have in the lab they're still working on, they're trying to get it up to 15%. I mean, they're going for it. And this is, oh, for what? Why are you even doing, man? Who are these people? Well, Fauci was funding them. This is the face of evil. And, you know, you have him, you have Bill Gates, and I'm sure there's a bunch of others that are involved in this, and hopefully it'll come out. What's going to come out? Well, first thing is, just because they got a shiny badge, don't believe them.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi. Okay, a lot of people have been coerced, fraud, deceit, force, you know, into taking one of several different versions of the vaccine. And it's not even really, I don't know if it's about they're wanting to kill everybody off or they're setting them up for later a storm in their immune system when the flu season starts again, and then they justify, see, we told you, you know, and you know, who's going to do the study, the people that didn't get vaxxed, and then while they're making deadly pathogens, you know, with the budget from Fauci and going to China to do it if they have to, I'm like, wow, this is wow, it's so very wow. So I'm going, all right, Frank, Why are they doing this? What are they doing?
Wait. Well, why are they doing what?
Forcing people to take this vaccine. Anyway, it's not because they love us. I mean, I'm not stupid enough to think Uncle Sam gives a crap about my health.
Oh, it's in my opinion, it's all control. I mean, it's interesting. There was a comment made. I heard some other commentators discuss how. You know, you remember how Democrats are, right? I forget what source it was.
Wait. Project allow... what? Remember what?
No. Anyway, it's some Democrat source, some book, whatever, where they always say that never let a good crisis go to waste,
yeah.
Right? That's kind of the Democrat or far left, whatever, mantra.
Rahm Emanuel was an advisor or something to Obama and then became mayor of Chicago, followed by what's her name? And he's always... Never let a good crisis go to waste. Okay, go.
Yeah. The guy's name on my tongue, I forget his name. But anyway, Emanuel maybe said it. I forget. Anyway, the point is that seems to be what they did. And it's interesting. If you know from the very beginning, if you're watching the very beginning, when this thing first hit, as much as I'd like to blame the Democrats, you know, who created this whole thing, or maybe Fauci did, some people in the deep state. But, you know, most of the Democrats, everything Donald Trump did in the beginning to try to get his bearings of this, not to mention, you know, Trump only knew the information coming into him. And you can see how already the deep state of medicine was hiding things from him. So he probably wasn't getting the straight picture either. I mean, he was trying to do his best to, you know, balance all that, not to mention, you know, the election coming up and the media taking everything opposite. So it was literally like a juvenile person. If you say that you like up, they'll say down. You say left, they say right, no matter what it is, right? So everything Donald Trump was trying to do, they would say the opposite. And that's what's fascinating, is that the Democrats were the ones saying the opposite. You know, don't wear a mask at first, right? And Trump said, I think maybe you should maybe wear a mask. You don't have to, but, you know, it's being considered as, you know, as good practice. Don't wear a mask because Donald Trump said so. Everything was opposite of what Trump did. And then there was a turn. There was a turn, like, I think after the first month or so, where all of a sudden, it's like the Democrats started to reassess and say, wait a minute, this is a heck of a crisis that we could use to our advantage. And it's true. I mean, you start to see a turnaround where then they start to double down on the lockdowns and the control, and just they figured that they saw that the economy in the country was on the ropes. And instead of trying to just battle against what Trump is saying, just to be the opposite, just, you know, for whatever reason, they realized that this was, you know, America was on its knees, and now they're going to take their boot and shove it on its head and force it down. And if they have to destroy the country, it doesn't matter, because heck, most of these people want it destroyed anyway. They hate this country. They hate the history. You know, when they want to rework this entire government and everything. which I'm sure some libertarians want to do that too. But you get my point. Mm-hmm. So I think that they, I think that that it shows a little bit that it's not as Machiavellian as it might be. That that you know, many of us look at this grand conspiracy where they orchestrate this entire thing. I there's certainly more behind this. I find it interesting that this virus was, quote, released or exposed to the world only, think about this, a month or so after, or actually around the same time in China. It was released, what, in November is when we first started hearing about those doctors who were making posts on online, and then they were getting canceled. The one guy died or what have you, or something happened to him and disappeared. So this was around November and December of 2019, right? What else happened in 2019, the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, is when China stopped buying our bonds. The same time, that's when they stopped buying our debt. And of course, the Fed Reserve started having to monetize it, right? Now, this became, people forgot about it because COVID became all the, you know, the whole deal, right? Everyone's talking COVID. But people forget that the real monetization, you know, of the Fed, China finally, the fear that many economists had for decades, which is the day when China finally says, we're not buying your crap anymore, your T-bills.
Which is when Donna and I decided to hit the road. It was October of 19. I remember when the Fed started monetizing the debt, when they had their overnight lending for the reserve requirement, and then all of a sudden they were the ones, we're the window, we're the last resort, we'll do it. Oh, and you don't have to pay it back the next day like you're supposed to keep your books balanced, right? It didn't take a week, a day. We had John Sneisen in, you know, from Winnipeg. He's an economist, written book, good friend. He was like, look, this is it. You know, China and Canada didn't even have a reserve requirement. They can just do it however much they want. And the U.S., they're doing it, and they're not paying it back, and they're not putting the deadline on them, and they don't want what happened with Lehman Brothers that kicked off the 08 crisis with a liquidity problem. So they said, there is no liquidity problem. We have a printing press. Well, how do they justify it? How do they do it? Well, whatever they can come up with. And I knew they were going to come up with something. Well, that's where the COVID thing hit. Boom. It's everything Dr. Frank is just saying. You look, why? It was the money. And it was their policies have devalued the money so much that other countries that keep their reserves in the dollar as a reserve currency, then what do you hear from Klaus Schwab? Oh, the U.S. has enjoyed this dominance in this you know, reserve world currency kind of thing long enough, and it's racist or whatever the hell it is, and they're going to go to something else, which is what? I don't know, but I guarantee it's going to be a GoldmanSucks.gov coin. That's what I say. And here it comes, and it's going to get bad, and you're from 79 cents a stick of conduit years, just a few years ago, to $5 and something. Copper, wood, lumber, $10 to $40. I'm telling you, it's happening now.
No, it is. It's happening now. But what I'm saying is that the conspiracy, if there's one, I think it's coming directly from China, because you have them releasing the virus, whether it was on purpose or not, and that they stopped buying our debt at the same time. That, to me, is the big story no one ever connects the dots on, is which came first. Did they release the virus by accident? They went, holy crap, we're, you know, the world's screwed. We may as well just stop buying their debt now and just let this thing roll out. Or was it on purpose? I don't know. But those two huge, profound events occurred at the same time, and people aren't connecting that. With that said, I think this is China's deal, obviously, and most Americans, even the deep state people, didn't see it coming, which is why they were just opposing Trump for being Trump until they started realizing, going back to your question, why they were forcing the vaccines, that they realized that this was a control issue that the left could take control of, no pun intended, I guess. And that's why this...
And that's why what? I lost your audio, man. All right, we'll get it fixed. You know, the one thing I want to put in this is that it was collectivism versus collectivism. And these bankers and central planners and so on, they thought that they were going to be able to, you know, out-collectivize China, you know, and Russia and all these guys. You want collective? I'll show you collective. Well, what did they do? They used collectivism to get you to buy into this debt creation, to be able to spend money in your name and do it at a large, massive scale that's going to have large, massive corrections. Well, if you just left it local and community and state and county and freaking family farm of whatever, and you don't have this kind of collectivization, what do you get? Well, I don't know, but it's a, you know, diverse, it's robust, it's, you know, well, that doesn't work for these few over here, let's not do that anymore, and you don't do it. Well, what they were doing is they're going, look, we're going to have a collective answer. We're going to compete collectively across the entire planet with the reserve currency, the dollar, or whatever, but it depended on other collectives. Well, what happens when China goes, you know what, we collectively aren't playing anymore, now what? Then everybody gets impacted at the same time, and you get depression. So what's the answer? Decentralization down to the individual. Then you have a whole way to combat it.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And sometimes Dr. Frank Tamburi, what happened is, well, tell the people what happened, how your signal got hijacked.
Yeah, well, I'm not used to, we have a new high-tech car. We always had old cars that, on purpose, that didn't have all this tech stuff in it. I prefer old-fashioned. But we finally got our first hybrid, getting ready for gas going to $20 a gallon or whatever. So it's a brand new, like, you know, 2020, whatever. It's got all these bells and whistles that many of you guys are used to. I'm not. It's like driving a space shuttle or whatever. My wife is getting ready to leave. And she went and turned on the car, which I didn't realize that hijacked my Bluetooth. So it just automatically took the signal into the car, which I didn't know at first. So,
and all of a sudden, it's Ernie on the radio, and your Savard is going, what the hell? I can't get away from it.
Yeah, so it's interesting, these high-tech problems you have to be aware of, and I got to figure out that for the future. But anyway, sorry about that, but that's interesting, and sure, many of you with these cars already know that problem.
Well, the other thing we were talking about, you know, I don't know how much detail you want to give, but there's some land thing and, you know, outside the valley Frank's interested in, and so on. He's checking building codes, and you're looking at, you know, and it's going, ah, man, it's getting kind of, you know, onerous here. What's your experience? What happened? What'd you find out? What's the neighbors do?
Well, the neighbors don't seem to care at all, and you know, they're kind of, yeah, they're just doing their own thing. It's almost like you got to wonder, you know, when if you're going to be in these areas, you know, government people probably don't have a lot to do. I mean, I'm sure they always have something to do. But, you know, it's like you go to these government people and you say, hey, is there any problems with this piece of property? Is there anything I need to know about, any problems? If you think about it, you know, it's like you're asking someone to look at your car and say, is there anything here that I could pay you for to work on? You know, and they go, oh, well, yeah, there's a ding over here. I could do this, and this is a problem. Oh, I don't know how you're driving with this, you know, this tire. Oh, my God, you're going to die if you don't change this tire. Like you have to kind of wonder, are there really problems? Or if you're constantly asking to look for problems, they just find something. And I don't know. I mean, it's I don't get too much into detail, but it's, you know, I'm kind of new into the property thing. And
well, this is something I'm focused on. When we come back to Arizona, as much as it's gone, and we saw it happening in the mid-90s as libertarians, but I didn't own property or have big land or any of that kind of stuff, but I just knew someday this is going to affect me. Well, now that we're looking for raw land and doing different things, I'm going, yeah, this is how they do it. You know, this is, you know, they set this infrastructure up. Now, some communities, they don't, I know, you know, regulator, what's his name, bureaucracy, what you call it, and we're all buds at church, and I ain't got to worry about it. But when they don't like you, and you're not going to blend, I mean, you know, when they don't like you, oh, we got a clipboard and some shiny badge going to explain it to you. And that is what Arizona was known for with the raw land. You could do whatever you wanted, and that's changing. And it's going at the county level, and I'm going to have to do battle with this. I just know it, you know. And when we get back there into the summer, early fall, we're going to be being buttheads about this. So strap in, guys. Here it comes.
Yeah, and the thing is, it also becomes, as you say, public opinion. I mean, at some point when people stop caring, where they turn their back in mass. You know, one of my patients, he's this millionaire business guy, and he does business in China. And he and I were, you know, chatting a little bit. As my patients like to chit-chat about other things outside of prostate when they get to know me. It's always a fun visit. But he was commenting about the communism and the business in China, and he did a lot of work in China. And he said he was chatting with business owners, and this comment was made. He said, look, we know that this is what the Chinese businessman said. And he says, look, we know that we're known as communists, but yet we can do business here. And the American was trying to figure out what the limitations were, you know, working with a Chinese company. And he said, the reality is this. The government says that we're communists, and we, the people, just let them think that that's what we are. In other words, it's and I know some there's a little debate about all that, but it's almost like they're becoming more free market. The communists have their control with things, but there's so many people there, and the free market is still the engine that seems to be pushing through the communist part. That there's conflict, and without the First Amendment, without the Second Amendment, without some of their liberties, they don't have to fall back on in the Supreme Court that's supposed to be, you know, upholding.
Yeah, no, we're all the same. There's not a lick of difference.
But it's just the concept of the people. You know, I would think that the communist Chinese were like kind of like in communist Russia, where, you know, the Soviets, where, you know, everyone was just depressed and feeling whipped and they had like these monkeys on your back. But it seems like the Chinese communist people don't feel that way. They feel like, you know, it's like, hey, all right, if they think they're in charge, fine. You know, but we'll just let them
think
that
they're
in charge. You know, but we're really
– No, this
well,
is what I
– I'm just telling you that there's I understand. A lot more going on.
I understand. This is how I see it. And I really got it when we started getting chickens. It was the chickens are healthier. They're more productive. They cost less money to deal with. And they produce better eggs. And they multiply better when they're more free. And we had, you know, those couple of acres. They ran around, did whatever the hell they wanted. But they knew to come back home, and, you know, the sun would touch the horizon, boom, they're back in the coop. I don't have to manage them. I don't have to deal with it. And the smarter ones go up in the trees, and the coyotes don't get them. So I just kind of had a hands-off, and they think they're free. They're happy. They're doing it. They think we work for them. They think that, you know, they'd come out and feed us and do whatever. But in the end, when it comes down to it, I'd be the boss. I'm the owner. I'm the rancher. I provide the freedom for them because it benefits me. But when it comes down to it and we move, this ain't your place anymore. You're going to the next door neighbors. You got sold off to someone else. You know, I'm a slaver, man. You know, I'm going to get what I want. I'm the rancher because I see that I get more for me by making them think they're free or being free or having the benefits of freedom, but then I get the spoils of it. And that's how the better governments see it. The freedom is what produces the wealth that they're sucking off of us from. So to ever think that they go, well, we'll just let them think they're communists. Well, whatever the hell they are, they're in charge, I guarantee it.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, from where the communist Chinese came from, the people, you know, from Tiananmen Square and from before that, I think it's a revolutionary mindset for them to even think that. It's almost like being a teenager where you finally start to realize that, you know, my parents are my parents, but I don't have to sit there and listen to everything they have to say. You know, I'm becoming more independent. I almost got that impression from other sources through China because, you know, I speak a little bit of Chinese. I speak Japanese.
Yeah, right up until your social credit score goes to crap and you're not able to fly and you can't go to the concert without your vaccine.
Dude, I'm not bowing
the
knee to China like John Cena.
No, I understand. I'm agreeing with you, and you're sharing what your client says. I understand. It's just that it's how they suck you into this. Yeah, we let them pretend they're communists. They don't give a crap whether they pretend they're communists or not. What they are is in charge. Eventually, they're in charge. And that's what my last couple-hour guest, she was going on, and Matt White, in the Telegram, Declare Your Independence Telegram, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. You can join it on Freedom's Phoenix on the left there towards the top underneath the spot prices and everything. It's a Join Us Telegram. You just click that and you go in. Those guys, smart people. Well, he goes, I can tell. She's from this Goddard School of Vermont. Come to find out, that's where she got her degree because she thought this way. She uses words in the freedom community to where, yeah, you come in, but ultimately you're controlled. Ultimately, there's a central plan. Ultimately, there's a committee in charge of, you know, we voted. And I'm going, okay, where's the community that supports the individual's right to be left alone on their land? Where's that? Well, the closest I can find, Declaration of Independence and what the promise of the country in the beginning was, that we're here to defend individual rights. But no, they justify and change definitional words to be that you are managed like chickens. You're just chickens. And eventually, you're running around thinking you're free, and then you're in the Chicken McNugget box. That's what's happening. So I'm going, all right. You know, so you're parlaying the land and what we're doing and everything. I can see fundamentally this is all going to come down to autonomy on land. Even out in the middle of the freaking desert, there's technology that we have that we can live a prosperous, free life. They've been doing it for millennia, and we want our chance with the technology. No, really. Well, tell everybody that. I want to make sure everybody knows what the truth is. And the truth is, you're lying sacks of crap. And that's it. Now we can bring this right back to Fauci, you know? Oh. Well, we're going to go long do an after show because that's what Frank
with
and I
did. With Ron Paul and cryptocurrency. Ron Paul and crypto next.
Ron Paul, cryptocurrency in the after show. All right. No, we can do that. You know, it's been an interesting day. It's kind of been shotgunning all over the place, but, you know, I like to share with you guys. You can see my perspective as we go through this trip and the relationships that we have, the things we're willing to invest in, and other people that are supporters. They help us invest in the good ideas, so a lot of times it's just for knowledge. It's just to learn something or demonstrate. Well, Dr. Frank and I are going to get into that without commercial interruption. In the after show starts in just a second, guys. Hold on.